shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are here in the form of the Holy Spirit, which indeed you are, even manifesting the same ministry that you brought forth to Israel at that particular time in the Son of Man, doing those same things and even in a greater degree, because we realize that there's a greater flock of the Gentiles than there definitely are of Israel, typified in the Big Dipper, all pointing beautifully to the great North Star, the Redeeming One, pointing to you, Lord. And we appreciate that we've already seen that happen in our lifetime and know where we stand in your word, which is perfectly vindicated to us as to the true revelation, interpretation of it. And Father, we know that even this hour we do not have the depth of revelation in the sense of accepting and the full permeation of it in our very vital cell by cell, in our brains, body, soul and spirit, Lord, as we would like to have, but we realize that it's a growth, and it will come to the elected, to the predestinated, certainly will manifest itself. So we're happy with that tonight, knowing that this is all of God, even as salvation is of the Lord. And we appreciate the fact, Lord, that we did not know this would take place. You made us privy to it so that we are a part of it. And in confirmation and affirmation, we believe that is what's necessary, and we are partakers, therefore, in that particular level. Grant our studies tonight, Lord, be beneficial to our very souls, Lord, and our very growth and real stability, because that's what we need in these times of changing winds and so many convolutions of certain things going on about us, Lord. We see it in government, we see it in the church, we see it everywhere, Lord. We ask you to help us, therefore, to stand steady. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, of course, we're continuing to see the discrepancy, and you realize that what we're actually doing here is not taking so much time with the manuscript, although we do go to it, as we're taking so many thoughts from the entire ministry of Brother Branham, which he brought to our attention. Now, we have plainly discovered and understand that when Brother Branham is speaking of the seed of discrepancy, he is indeed simply using another term for serpent seed. Now, that you must understand. There's not a seed of discrepancy, and then there's a serpent seed, and then there's a true seed. The actual fact of the matter is that the children of the devil, which are called the tares, are definitely serpent seed, and Brother Branham calls it now the seed of discrepancy, which you remember last Sunday and the time before we brought to your attention that particular meaning discrepancy, which we'll go into again tonight. So we have discovered and understand perfectly that Brother Branham, when speaking of the seed of discrepancy, is actually talking about serpent seed. And the scripture he used for context is Matthew 13, where he read the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now, these terms are used of God's own children brought forth by him through his only begotten Son, and then down through Adam into a natural election, which you find in Genesis chapters 1 through 5. And all wheat were in God, and then all were placed in Jesus, and then in Adam for that natural election where we've already spoken. And we were careful to note that these children are real people, wherein one cannot now tell one from another by conduct or gifts or fruit or desires and testimony, etc., etc. The only difference is found to be an adherence to the truly revealed word of God as given down through the ages. Now, that has always been and always will be the true testimony of a child of God. And remember, those children of God will come and receive the Holy Spirit so they can actually have the definitive revelations that are given all through those ages, even in this very hour. Now, in this, the children of God are manifest and different from the children of the devil. Now, you're going to find they all have good testimonies. They can testify that God gave his only begotten Son. Now, they don't understand that. But they'll testify, and that's the truth. God did give his only begotten Son. But they'll put him down as God gave God the Son. The Son isn't God. The Son is the Son of God. And you can see the folly of the Trinity. If you would find that God, the Father, actually had a people that were so gross in their behavior that he had to look down upon them all and say, well, I've got a terrible mess here. What are we going to do about it? And the son will say, well, you prepare a body for me and I'll go and redeem them by my blood. You don't find that. You don't find that. That's not God the Son saying that. Then the Holy Spirit carries out the work. That's a Trinitarian dogma. It is not scriptural. It's a gross perversion of the Word of God. But these people have a great testimony. And they can talk about healing. They can talk about their lives changed. And you can see all of these people in sports today. I guess Vince Lombardi was one of them that was supposed to be born again Christian. And then there's another guy. What was he? Head of the... down there in Texas, Houston, with Oilers, whatever it was, he supposed to be born again Christian, and now they got another born again Christian, Colorado, all over the country. And then now you've got somebody down here in Dayton. He's a big, happy looking fellow, sweet guy. I think he's a wonderful guy, no doubt about it. And he's he plays ball on Sunday. You know, dishonors the resurrection, memorial of the resurrection. See, then they testify. It sounds good. Their lives are changed. And you can say the truth. Thank God these things are happening because it's better this than the other. But you see, they don't understand. They're still lost. They have testimonies. They have healings. Pray for the sick. They have marvelous things happen. But there's no conforming to the Word. See, except in areas that they... place in order to bring about a union. See, right today now, the Catholics are very upset with the book that the Seventh Day Adventists wrote. What they've done is just republish it where they make the Pope the beast and Roman Catholic Church the Antichrist system. Hey, Jehovah's Witness does the same thing. Protestants have been doing it, and we do it right here. And now suddenly the Roman Catholic Church is taking exception, and the Protestants say, shame, shame, shame. From a great organization like the Seventh-day Adventists, we're hearing this terrible thing. Now, little peripheral groups like you and me, we're little cultists, you know. Well, they can expect that from us, but shame. Huh. Well, the Pope is the Antichrist. What do you want for a nickel? See, they're all liars. So I'm showing you, they'll all conform to this, and we'll talk about that word later on. They'll all conform in this system here. But they actually are off the definitive Word of God. That's why the sacrifice of God's own Son, even He who came down, remembering His previous tenure and what God had Him in those offices, remembering it, took upon Himself the form of human flesh, literally went into every temptation known to man, and never defiled Himself, never was disobedient to the Word, and never contradicted the Word, never had a thought of His own, never had an action of His own. He was entirely all submitted to God, because that's what it really was. He humbled Himself to complete submission. And that's what God's trying to do, get this church submissive tonight, too. It's pretty hard to do it. But he was completely submissive to the Word of Almighty God. And now the Bible tells you, now he died to take away condemnation. Now if he died to take away condemnation, why is there still condemnation? Hey, if you took away that big garbage dumpster out there of all the garbage, then all the garbage is gone, right? And don't go looking for garbage, the garbage is gone. Well, if the Son took away condemnation, why are you looking for condemnation? Condemnation's gone. But hold it, it hasn't gone. There's a condition that you bring everything to the light and let the Word test what you have or don't have. They say, who's going to believe us on those grounds? Nobody. Or the Pope, he's fine. Maria, your sister, your Teresa, she's a wonderful saint of God in the sense that she's a tremendous person. I wouldn't say the woman's not saved. I wouldn't say she'll not come up in the second resurrection. I wouldn't say anything. I don't know. Now, you put her against ordinary Christians and against this church, she makes it look like a bunch of bums. Let's face it. Well, she's got something driving her in it. You got to take your hat of respect off and set her down. But you see, go right to the nitty-gritty. They won't bring their come to the light because their deeds are evil. What evil deed is that? Worshipping God apart from a prophet, a true revelation. So anyway, that's the way it is. Now, in this the children of God are manifest from the children of the devil. Now, we're going to go back here and just read this little bit of scripture. No, I mean, it's scripture, sure it is. Page 27, again, paragraph 92. Now, tonight, in the days, we got this great discrepancy. Jesus Christ promised in Luke that in the days before the coming of the Lord, it would be like it was in the days of Sodom, when the Son of Man revealed himself, like the Son revealed himself to Abraham down there, Elohim, God, made flesh among the people. Now, you see, Son of Man is actually then where God is made flesh among the people. And that was made in its completeness in Jesus, his own Son. And it's also made in a prophet because he is a Son of Man. So when you see God descend from heaven, stand before groups of men, declare himself as ever he did, what did he mean when he said, he that seen me, seen the Father? You're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Blows your mind, doesn't it? I love my mind blown. Merciful God, it wasn't blown out of the way. When you believe things like that, you begin to find out that you were a manure head, without a doubt. Oh, I got real brains. I got real intellect. Like one fellow said here, and he said, you know, he said, could be my brilliance gets in my way. Hoo-hoo-hoo. I wouldn't let it get in my way, I can tell you that. You can have a Ph.D. double or triple with the exponential curve. What do I care? And do you know the exponential curve of the Ph.D. is the biggest racket and the worst thing in the world you could have? Because knowledge increases, but not the knowledge of God. Man's wisdom never being the wisdom of God. Only God can do it himself by an ordained prophet. All right, it says here, in the days we got this great discrepancy. Well, now, you got to understand that everything is twins. Light, dark, good, evil, oil, water, they won't mix. See? Righteousness, unrighteousness, Son of Man, Son of God, Bride of God, Bride of Satan. Is that a fact, right? Okay, then if there is a seed of discrepancy, then there must be a seed of conformity. Right? Huh? Well, that's natural, isn't it? So, a seed of conformity. Because if there's a discrepancy, there has to be a conformity in order to have a discrepancy. And the conformity will be one with whatever we are looking at as the source. Because we're talking now in terms of a superior authority over conformity and nonconformity, which is discrepancy. Huh? You go along with that? Well, there's got to be. How in the world would you know what conformity is or nonconformity, discrepancy, unless there was something that you could really have as a gauge, a standard, a tie post, an absolute? Huh? You couldn't. So we might just take a little peek at a couple of verses here. And one is in Romans 8. There's only a couple of them in the whole Bible. And 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, if you're going to conform to something, it means that you blend into it. Say, hey, that's the way it should be. Left hand, I got a left hand. Right hand, I got a right hand. Heart's on the right side. In the middle here, hey, mine's there too. Got 2 feet, one points this way, one points that way. Hey, that's great. I'm conforming. And I'm conforming because I got a spirit of confirmation. Or conforming. Now, that's what I read here. You know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So there's a great conformer, and he put the firstborn one there, who is the only begotten, right? Then he is also the creation of God in human flesh, and he is also the first begotten from the dead. And we're going to conform to him. In other words, we fit right in. As Jesus was the image of God, image is image, right? To have an image, there's got to be something original, have an image of, right? And the image is not the real thing, is it? It's not. It's not. Except in Jesus, that image was a part of the real thing because he was the literal substance of God. You and I are too. So there's a conforming. That make you feel good, doesn't it? We got those that don't conform. We got those that do conform. Now, never mind the foolish virgin. She'll come up and she will conform. But never conform as the wise virgin and the bride. So you got those conforming to God. You got those conforming to Satan. Okay. Let's take another little peek here. We go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and the second verse. And be not conformed to this world. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Don't conform to it. Brother Branham said, the church and women are fashioned by God, by the devil. God wants his people to be fashioned by him, and indeed they will be, because there is a principle of predestination following the principle of foreknowledge and election. Way back there, called out, come into it. Do not be conformed to the world. Be a non-conformist in the sense of rejecting the world, but be a conformist when it comes to receiving those things of God. Now, you understand, of course, Brother Branham said that the world is one word off. One word off is the world. One word off is Satan's kingdom. So at the end time, there's going to be a bride who absolutely conforms to what Brother Branham is talking about. Now, when we looked at this seat of discrepancy, we looked at the word discrepancy, which means to sound differently. It rattles and it chatters. In other words, it's like a turn loose, ungoverned, Pentecostal, tongues talking, prophesying meeting where, let's understand this flat, tongues are acceptable, interpretation is acceptable, prophecy is acceptable, singing psalms is acceptable, testifying is acceptable. There's many things that are acceptable, but they must be in order. And if you put them out of order, you've got chaos and confusion. Paul doesn't say, hey, you can't speak in tongues. He says, hold it. You can, but watch it. Brother Branham came on the scene. What's his business? He said, you people's talking in tongues and then saying you're interpreting. Interpreting plus tongues means prophecy. That's looking down the road and telling you something predictive which must come to pass. Put it in writing. If you can say it, put it in writing. Didn't God say it and didn't they put it in writing? All right, let's blame it onto God. Now, God, you told me to prophesy. Here I'm prophesying. Put it in writing. There's something wrong with you. Your spiritual guts are missing. Huh? It's not Pentecostal stuff here in the sense of what 1906. Now, it says here to sound differently. Okay, the word differently positively is an adverb. So therefore, if you sound differently, you are whatever is making that sound is different from what it should be. Or is different from something else, and they're both okay. Because you're playing in an orchestra. The flute will not sound like a violin. Although sometimes, hey, you can make them pretty close. There are artists that are so fantastic. In fact, there's this Hungarian Jew. What's his name? It's not Liederkranz, that's German. It's, I forget his name. I'll get it for you. But the fact of the matter is, I've got his record at home, and he's playing the piano. He's playing Liszt, and he's completely under the spirit of Liszt. He's dominated. And I tell you the truth, that piano sounds like an organ. I didn't dare say one word to anybody until I picked up a paper. And a woman who is a critic, she knows what he's talking about. She said, the strangest thing suddenly sounds like an organ. Hey, we got an organ here, a piano here. You want to demonstrate? Now we got two sisters, Angela and Naomi. I bet you $1 million. Hey, you can get rich overnight. I haven't got $1 million though. I'm just lying to you. You can't make that piano sound like an organ unless you use one of the pulls out, you know, that you got in there. Because this thing is mechanized so you can make a flute. But don't you touch anything. See, you can't do it. Nobody can. See, the Spirit did it. But differently. See, it's the adverb. And we showed you, though there is also the noun, the adverb intrigues us for two reasons. Number one reason, the children of the devil come by interjecting into the children of God, which are the sheep. That's why Brother Branham said, when I said, Brother Branham, there's two books, he said, no, Lee, there's only one. He said, the last book of life and the book of life is one and the same book. He said, they're not two books, there's just one. And I thought, my heavenly days, I know that Brother Branham is right, and I'm certainly going to conform to what he said. I'm not going to argue. But man, oh man, this is, you know, touch and go sort of thing. But I said, okay, it's just one book. Now I can see the perfection. It was interjected into it. He took an animal and crossed it with a human being. And science is doing all that junk right now today, showing we've come right back to the devil running everything. It's a Satan's scheme, I understand. So the differently is, the children of the devil came differently, in a different way, a different manner, and are different from the children of God. Now, that's the same with the Word. Under the Apostle Paul. See? He came vindicated. See? And remember, the vindication of Paul was a superior ministry of Thus Saith the Lord, of Deuteronomy 18, and not only that, but Numbers 12, where God spoke face to face and then set him out vindicated to let the people know he had spoken face to face with God the same as Moses. And that's William Branham. See, it was different. He said there's many sounds. They're different. There's many voices. None without some signification or some description. They mean something. But the thing is, what voice is of God? Now, Peter opened the doors. And Peter wrote two books on the second coming. And there's some present things back there too, which is very good. I got no argument with it. But Peter is not known as a prophet, an apostle, in the way that Paul was. Now, let's take a look at this. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. In my name you'll cast out devils. Lay hands upon the sick. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll do this and you'll do that. And they waited. Now listen. Jesus was 100% vindicated, as Luke tells us in the book of Acts. He both began to do and to teach, which meant he had thus saith the Lord before he opened his mouth to enunciate one principle from God. He was vindicated. Deuteronomy 18. But far greater than Moses, God was in him completely, in a way he was not in anybody else. I'm not saying God shed part of him to one side. I'm just saying that God didn't manifest in Moses or anybody like he did in Jesus. And the fact of the matter is, you could look back and you'd almost think that Moses had a greater manifestation of God than Jesus did. If that's the case, why did Jesus say there's no prophet born of woman greater than John the Baptist? He's the greatest of all. He didn't even do one thing. Except stood there when Jesus stood there, and this is the Lamb of God. Take a look at him. You know, don't try to frig with the Word of God. Just take it and live with it. See? So, all right. Paul came on the scene, and he's 100% vindicated. He puts it in the book of Galatians. He puts it in chapters of Romans. He puts it in Thessalonians. He puts it in Corinthians, very, very much so in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. And then right on down the line in 1 Corinthians 14. Now what is he saying? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 14, 36 to 37. So I want to talk about that. Now, Paul the Apostle here says, he said, the church is in confusion. So don't you say you've got church order from God. He said, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. Then he says here in verse 36, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, that means full of the Holy Ghost, or a part of the exalted fivefold ministry, of which the prophet is an outstanding individual. Now, he comes below the apostle, that's true. But he's an outstanding individual. And so Paul picks him. And especially does he pick him because we know that prophets are supposed to bring the word. And so he picks out the fivefold. He said, if you are full of the Holy Ghost, and we got that from the book of Romans, indeed you're spiritual and not carnal, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. So therefore, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you are not carnal, you are spiritual. Now, are you part of the fivefold ministry? That depends, I don't know. We've got some sitting here, and I'm up here, so we know we got part of that too. Now, what does he say? If you are in the fivefold ministry, or you've got the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you will acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, let's just take a peek at that one before we go any further. Now, to acknowledge, okay, that comes from a couple of words. And the first word, of course, is a little word in there like a prefix. And it means superimposition of time plus order. So superimposition of time plus order signifies an authority or a sovereignty that sets every single thing aside. You follow what I'm saying? Let him acknowledge. We're looking at two words there. The second word then is to know. The second part of it is to know. That's the root word itself. To be aware, to perceive, to be resolved, to be sure, to understand. In other words, this person here has come to the place of putting everything else to one side. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. In other words, you set yourself aside and you take this word and you superimpose it upon everything you ever thought about. Put it in an order of sovereignty, a tie post, an absolute, that's it. So that your own thinking is down the drain. Let him acknowledge what I write. Let him superimpose my revelation, direct from God, over every single thing, and let it stand there as a judge. The judge is at the door, and he's here tonight. The judging word. Brother Branham said, we sang it the other day, I'll go with him through the judgment. You're doing it right now with the judging word. Because he is the Word. You understand what I'm saying now? Okay, let him acknowledge the things that I write into the commandments of the Lord. Okay. In other words, there is perception there. What perception? No perception as to the Word itself being given. The perception lies in the Son of Man ministry, vindication. Thus saith the Lord. Now, when that thus saith the Lord comes to pass, the next thing is Paul could say, I stood there face to face with him. And he had witnesses too, because those on the road to Damascus saw the pillar of fire in a blurred sort of way, the same as they saw it in Branham Tabernacle way back in 1960. They saw a reflection. And Paul says, every single thing I ever learned has gone to one side. It's gone. I've got an absolute. Now, remember, it's superimposed. You need to superimpose something upon another thing? You ever had these things in school where you take and superimpose like a little outline, you put it upon something down here and it changes the whole picture? Well, you superimpose the revelation of Almighty God upon whatever word and revelation you got, and you're going to find out that vindication is a million times greater than inspiration, because your inspiration could be the devil, because the Bible says the devil inspires people. That's right in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. And that inspiration is a transformation, making them think that they are the angels and messengers of God. So, all right, you've got an absolute. You've got a priority. You've got a tie post. When you do this, see, because unless you do this, you do not have it. Now you'll understand why Brother Branham kept talking about absolute and tie post. Now, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 18. I really shouldn't take time with these verses here, but they're good for us, I think, anyway. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. Now here you are. Paul is making a difference between people. And the acknowledgement is that if there's a difference, and these are the ones that are you're to listen to, these are the refreshers, these are the ones that are really the helpers and in this ministry, then you look to those men. It means to acknowledge. And 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, 12 to 22, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our behavior in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. In other words, his real ministry was to those that came out of the world. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. Now, he's telling them right there, he knows they positively are believers. He knows that these are the ones who really understand what's going on. They're a part of it. You think maybe Brother Branham didn't know? How could you be a prophet and not know a lot of things? How could you not know kindred spirit and a kindred revelation, see? Now, as you also have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you're also ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, right down the line he's looking. This is our day. They had a communion spirit of revelation and understanding. They knew what Paul knew. They had what Paul had. They were conforming to his image as he conformed to Christ. Be followers of me as I am of Christ, and Christ was of God. Now, you got a hookup, a definitive line. So we got a relationship here in the body of Christ. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that you might have a second benefit. Now, Paul said, I believe you're ready for me to dish out some more of the goodies. I believe you're ready now for the second course of the dinner. I believe you got away from that stuff that I warned you about. And you're truly a bride. Remember, he had to lay a foundation. I was talking about this, and I got a bit misled there in my thoughts. Concerning Jesus, when he prophesied what took place at Pentecost. That was Jesus' own prophecy following his own word that took place at Pentecost, and they look back at that. But that wasn't good enough. That's only part of it. When Paul came along and laid the foundation, they were to look at that. And when the church went down in four solid ages, Luther came by, look at that. And Wesley came by, look at that. And Pentecostals came by, look at that. But it all went down the drain. Now, William Branham vindicated, you can't get any further. Look at that. And either that'll get you there or forget it. It never got anybody there. And neither is Paul, and neither is William Branham, and neither will we be, and neither is there God in heaven. Let's get it down flat. Nobody likes this kind of preaching. You know why? Because you get plumb cut loose from everything. Except vindication, vindicated word. And let me tell you something. You're cut loose anyway. You're either going to heaven or going to hell. Let's get that flat. There's no purgatory and resting place in between. Purgatory is only a grease pole to take you down further. With hot hands, you ain't got much to cling to. Well, let's keep reading. And in this confidence, I was mine to come with you before, that you might have a second benefit. I could read a little more here. Well, I won't go back. Hey, and to pass by into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. There's not one negative word in a revelation to God's saints. There's not one and or if or but. There's no parables anymore. There's no mysteries anymore. It's all open. And those people who keep on saying, Brother Branham said, the seventh seal is not yet open to the public. And they'd say, oh, the seventh seal is not on that side, lying in the pit of hell. It wasn't over the public until Brother Branham categorically said the seventh seal was Revelation 10, 1 to 7. That's exactly what he said. That's thus saith the Lord. And why do they want to change it? They got no tie post. They got a bunch of lying hearts, though. And they're full of confusion. We haven't got it. We don't want it. When you get to this place where Paul was and William Branham, there aren't any yeas and nays. It's only yea. And that's the right hand. And on the left hand is nay. Why? Because judgment set in. So I said the other Sunday, people don't realize you go to the fair and the judge says, hey, that's the most beautiful piece of art I've ever seen. I give you first prize. Everybody thinks judgment. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. Don't you know that judgment is right or wrong, good or bad? You did or you didn't? You got it or you ain't? Huh? Left hand, right hand. Blessing and cursing. So Paul's come there. Now, I don't have to go any further than that. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Now he says, as God is true. In other words, everything I'm telling you is as true as God himself. I haven't taken one thing to it, haven't taken one thing out of it. I am merely a scribe. In other words, what God said by his mouth was 100% controlled. Now then, we also go to 2 Timothy. And in, pardon me, 2nd chapter, 23-26. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, be gentle and all men apt to teach patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That guy in New Zealand, he wanted to say repentance is a good, sorrowful feeling. Repentance absolutely means I've changed my mind. Now what it says here, listen to it. Repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You have not repented until you understand, thus saith the Lord, and there is the source of truth, and these sermons are the source of truth, not my preaching on them, but Brother Branham's. Now where do you stand? You a bunch of Pentecostal who done it? Look at it. Oh, I wonder if this. Hey, if your mind is not snapping now to every doctrine the way Brother Branham taught it, I have wasted my time and I'm tired. I'm going to go home. And it's time for me to die anyway and get out of here. It's nonsense for me to stick around. If you cannot understand what I'm saying tonight, where have you been all the years I've been here? What have you been doing with yourselves? Now, I don't mind the folk out there that say these preaching two gods. They can't even read. Merciful God, it's pitiful. I've got no time for that stuff. I'm talking about people that's heard my tapes over the years. I preach them right from Brother Branham. Now let's look at it again. If God peradventure will give them repentance, God will change your mind concerning the truth. Because you just got a lie. Now you're going to be a true seed and full of these lies from hell. And you will. because you must resort to and you're resolved to human reasoning. But when thus saith the Lord comes on the scene, you ain't got a thing coming. No, except to think what he said, and God's got to grant it. I know people don't like me because they keep saying, well, Lee, you can't give a person a revelation. I can't give anybody here revelation. But you think you're going to stop me teaching the revelation? Drop dead. If you want to go to hell, go to hell. Don't try to intimidate me. Try to bluff me out of something. I know different. I've been called. So, forget that noise. I can tell you right now where it came from. Came from the devil. Sure, servants of hell, that's all. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. You suppose I'm going to stand back when Paul called Peter a hypocrite? So going back again, showing you, Jesus had prophesied all those things. They were at Pentecost. Now remember, they came after the word of Jesus vindicated. It came and he said it. And Paul goes right back to Isaiah. Was established another time I speak to this people. Peter goes back to Joel. We'll go into that. We get along. Okay? When Paul came on the scene, he had to set the church straight, and he said, I have laid the foundation, and I did not lay it on Peter's. In other words, he bypassed Pentecost and what Peter taught 100%. Now, Brother Branham said, you got to get back to Pentecost. What was Pentecost? Pentecost was when God himself came down and took headship over the church and began baptizing every one of the Holy Ghost. And don't tell me he's not doing it today. We're back. But we're not back to what people think we're going to get back to. Now, 23 to 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at will. Now you can be taken captive by the devil until such a time as the word breaks forth in vindication. And when it breaks forth, God will give you repentance to change your mind if you are seed of God, and you'll come right in line. And then you're no more captive of the devil. Spirit of God. Love, courage, and a sound mind. Now, we could go on and on. I'm not going to. Now, the word things. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now, the word thing actually means good or benefits. In other words, good, beneficial. Salubrious, your spiritual health. Good for you. Wipe that light out, son. Bothers me. Ain't halfway finished. I think his tape's running short. All right. The word good or benefits means it's intrinsically so. Now, the word intrinsic has a little preposition meaning in, which is in or inward or within. So, the word intrinsic means belonging to the real nature of the thing. And not dependent on external circumstances. In other words, it's essential and inherent. Now, that's what Paul talked about in Galatians. The gospel that I have, I neither received it from man nor of a man. I never got it by myself, but God himself gave it to me. Let him acknowledge, therefore, the things that I write are inherently of Almighty God. They're beneficial. They are good, and nothing else is, because inherently God is the Word, as Brother Branham said. So you're looking now at a perfection here. Now watch. This does not depend upon external circumstances. What is essential and inherent is what lies below the cover. No matter what you see or think you see, or what your judgment would be, that has nothing to do with it. in other words, as I preach the sermon, the infallible word in a fallible man. And the prophet is fallible. And you and I are fallible. But we have an infallible word of an infallible God. And that is exactly what you are to look at. And nothing else. Okay. A little further. The things that I write unto you, these intrinsically righteous, pure, definitive word of God that I write to you, you can't go by circumstances. You can go by nothing but thus saith the Lord. And the understanding that the prophet cannot say anything but what God wants that man to say. And we'll hit that down the road a little bit. He will acknowledge. He'll put a priority on this, because this is it. They are the commandments of God. The word commandment is an injunction. That is an authoritative prescription. The authoritative prescription for sin is a vindicated word. The authoritative road for the blood and for the spirit is a vindicated word. There isn't anything that takes the place of the vindicated word, because you can no more bypass a vindicated word than you can bypass God, and you can no more have a true word of God, a word, unless you see there's a true God. Vindication always is the source and the secret of every single thing, or shut up, forget it, and go home. Now you begin to see why I preach vindication like a house of fire in every single sermon. And why these sermons here are different from perhaps almost any place in the world. Because it's vindication, vindication, vindication. And I'm showing that why all these years, like William Branham, I have preached vindication, vindication, vindication. Without it, forget it. I'm not interested in politics. Bridging the 21st century by a liar and a whoremonger. The so-called president. You can have it. You'll be kissing the Pope's toe before it's over. And we'll be kissing Jesus' feet before it's over, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I don't mind kissing feet. Just make sure it's the right feet. He can even tramp on my neck if that's what he wants, as long as they're the right feet. It's fine by me. It's an authoritative prescription. See? In law, it is a legal court order prohibiting a person or group from carrying out a given action or ordering some action to be taken. And Paul gave an order to these people, stop doing what you're doing. If you're going to do it right. And William Branham said the same thing, I'll go with you in that little room. And they walked out. Where are they today? I don't know. That's their business. And what we're talking about tonight is all of God. It's over here, brother, sister, in the book of Ephesians. We read it so many times, we all know it by heart, don't we? He may give the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of understanding being opened, and so on. You may know his riches. The riches of inheriting the saints is the word of God. You may know that word. And in knowing that word, the word full of life and full of Holy Ghost, he's coming up and coming up, transforming and changing until we get there by the power of God. Now, when we talk about Ephesians 4, which we go to, look at that one. And 21, no, that's the wrong one. 17. Oh, it doesn't matter anyway. We've got enough here without reading all this. It's too long. There's quite a bit of scripture I'd have to read here, and I don't want to do that. Oh, I wonder if I'm not doing it. Get a wrong thing here entirely. Okay. The verse here in Ephesians 4 and in 21, it says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus Christ. But verse 20 explains it. But you have not so learned Christ. You have not so learned the anointing from the anointed one. You have not so learned from the teacher, because he is here to teach. If so be you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now, Paul the Apostle is not talking about himself, but he's talking about who was in him doing it. He was talking about who gave it to him. And that's the thing we are looking at here. We're looking at this ministry that's coming up, and it has to be that very way. And it was that way through Revelation 10:1-7, where Brother Branham brought it to us, the same as we know it was God who came down in Ephesians 1. Now, you know enough of that. I'm skipping some of my notes here. Now, we know here that this revelation of the church order is by Paul is a part of Galatians 1, and we noted, it is thus saith the Lord. And that thus saith the Lord is the same as Deuteronomy 18 and Numbers 12. Not just thus saith the Lord preceding the word, but God talking face to face, where he could talk to God and God would talk to him. Now, here is what I consider the Alpha spoken of by Peter at Pentecost, which is Acts 2:1-21. Now, as you read that, and we haven't got time to read it all, we've read it many, many times, so we can skip it. We talk about the place where Peter is telling them concerning what has gone on. And what has gone on, you'll notice he says in verse 16, this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass the last days, saith God. Now, Brother Branham puts that in there as the last 2 days, which is roughly 2,000 years. And remember, when you talk about a year, 1,000 days, it is not true that it is exactly 1,000 years. Because it tells you in 2 Peter 2:3-8 that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. So you're not just saying 1,000, 1,000, 1,000. You can't do it. It won't work. So anyway, the last 2 days are what we're into right now, roughly 2,000 year period. And he said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters prophesy and see visions, so on, and on my servants and my handmaidens I'll pour in my spirit, and they shall prophesy. In other words, you've got two groups of people that are both equally anointed. But one is not of God, but the other is of God. Because he said, your sons and your daughters and mine. And remember, he declared Israel in main a serpent seed nation. Now, when he comes back, there's only going to be 144,000, about maybe 9 million Jews. They're still serpent seed, the same as the Gentiles. Remember, the percentage that came from one father is 0.01, and that's high. The percentage of serpent seed from the serpent itself, the parentage, the father, is 99.99. That's statistics. DNA, RNA, that's science. You can't go by science. You just have to take it. I mean, you can't bypass it. You've got to take what they say because it's true there. So, all right. Now, Peter says here, starting back there, and that's where it was sown. Back in that day, when the Holy Spirit fell, all in that upper room were genuine. They came down manifesting, and they weren't speaking in tongues. The people heard them. They were Galileans preaching in Galilean. And God turned the words in midair. And they heard it in their own languages, roughly 13 different languages could be heard by my preaching if this were Pentecost. It happened one time, a German lady heard me. And she said, I didn't know Brother Bill could speak German. I still can't. She just heard it. The miracle lay in the hearing. It wasn't in my preaching at all. Another man had that happen down in Brazil. Portuguese. He has no word of Portuguese to my knowledge. They heard him speaking. The interpreter sat down. He just carried on. Now that can be done by a truly anointed preacher and a false anointed preacher. Because it says right here, starting at Pentecost, there's going to be an outpouring in 2,000 years, which will culminate at its greatest height just before the great tribulation, where everybody, all flesh, can be anointed. And there'll be those anointed to the word and those anointed against the word, and the same Holy Ghost doing the same things. Same fruit, same gifts, same everything. You understand what I'm saying? Well, come on, it's just plain as a nose in your face. We've got some pretty big noses, same as mine. All right. So, all right. Let's get this flat. Every time you have anything happen, twins, if the Holy Ghost comes down, period, the unholy ghost has got to come down. If you got a son of man ministry, you got to have a son of perdition. If you got a left hand, you got to have a right hand. Every time there's twins, let them grow together. And I'll separate when the time comes. And you see just exactly where it started, and the worst outpouring of all, the greatest, where the razor blade different come, where all but the very elect are deceived by this outpouring. These false ones, anointed by the same Holy Ghost, doing the same thing. And they're perfect sheep, fruit, everything, you name it, gifts, you name it. But they haven't got the word because they're listening to false prophets and false apostles and false teachers. That's what's wrong today with the Branham ministry, the so-called Branham message. You got everybody running out there teaching. And they're teaching wrong. I believe that with all my heart. Now let's go to Joel, the second chapter. Somewhere back there called Joel, Amos, Micah, and the whole bit. Oh, I forgot Obadiah and the rest of them. But we'll get Joel right here. He's 27 to 32. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. See, that's a promise there that at that particular time, it's all over. And it shall come to pass afterward. That word is not afterward, it means at the latter or the very last. It'll come to pass at the very last. I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters prophesy, your old men dream dreams, your young men see vision, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I pour out my spirit, and I'll show wonders in the heavens, the earth, and blood and fire and smoke, and so on, right down the line. That's Joel. And he tells you in the last 2,000 years, and ending with the great tribulation, you are going to see this anointing. And Brother Branham warned, it's at the end time, it is so close, Matthew 24, all but the very elect are deceived. And that deception started right there in the first church. And it started right around gifts. And they would not even bring the gifts in order. They would not put the church in order. And Paul said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You give my word priority. You make it your tie post. You make it your ultimate. You see, you make it your plumb line. That's scriptural. You make it your standard. You do that. The rest will fall in order. See, it's not up to us from that time on. It's up to God. Repent, be baptized. You'll get the Holy Spirit. Don't doubt. Put your word in order. All these things will come. See, that's what happened to a certain brother. I said he'd never, never, ever betray Brother Branham. I was confident. I had no use for the guy because I didn't like what he did all the time. Tried to bulldoze me and I wouldn't be bulldozed. He said, let's suppose. You don't suppose anything. I said, this message. Well, he says, let's infer. He said, hold it right there. He said, you got me so mad right now, I'm not going to enjoy my breakfast. Shut up. What's the Bible say? Now, he said, Brother Branham wasn't John 14 and 12. Of course, he's going to be. Ha! Oh, brother. Him divorcing his wife and marrying some floozy? That's pretty good, eh? All right. Twins had to be there in Alpha to be here in Omega. As in Joel 2:27-32, and the seed of discrepancy anointed but false according to Matthew 7 and Matthew 24, and destroyed just at the time of the great tribulation. Now, I didn't read that back here. And it burst after the tribulation. Verse 32, and it come to pass, who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The remnant of the piece of cloth of the foolish virgin. Only the bride and foolish virgin make it. Nobody else. The foolish virgin dies for it. She knows too late. She won't get hooked in. Maybe it's a bunch of Seventh-day Adventists. Who knows? Who cares? That's up to God. I haven't got nothing to do with that. That's gone. See, now notice, there is another time we have the same scenario when Moses led out Israel from Egypt, Balaam, anointed to true prophetic utterance. but against the Word in flesh, who was Moses. Prophets, the Word of God made manifest in human flesh. Moses was manifest. Therefore, God was manifest. The Word was manifest. Absolutely, vindication, brother, sister, vindication. God was there. He said, Moses, tell him I'm with you, and I'll prove it. William Branham, Paul, tell him I'm with you, I'll prove it. I'm here. My, so clear. Oh, my, I'm glad something within me believes it. Sure can't be me, it's got to be God. Now, let's talk about Balaam. Balak called Balaam, come and curse Israel. He said, just a minute, you know I can't do that. I'll see if I can. But he said, I can't say one thing unless God tells me to say it. He said, curse him. He said, Balak, who do you think you're kidding? I can't curse what God hasn't cursed, and I cannot bless what God hasn't blessed. I've got to find out, and then I'll tell you. He went up there and he found out. Came back and he prophesied good to Israel. The king said, you blessed them all together. What's going on here anyway? I was going to make you a great man and give you lots of money. He said, shut up. I like the money. I like the prestige. But I got to admit one thing. I can only say what he tells me to say. How many Pentecostals have you got there? What about that guy that went down to Regan's church and said, well, if I prophesy wrong, don't hold against me. How many times did Babe Ruth go to bat to make a home run? Brother, I said, pray that spirit off you. Listen, I know the border of nip and tuck. And the nip and tuck is, if you're not a true prophet, you cannot get into that frame, into that groove, that slant. I am not a true prophet. I've been partway there. With vision, close to trance, and prophesying, hear myself talk, and it was the truth. But I know prophet. So I know it is also to get up and let off steam and be nothing but a stupid jackass. A Pentecostal hoodlum. No more anointed in God than nothing to say the things I said because they weren't true. Yet under anointing and discerning, I could tell you and defy you. I'm telling you something. Don't you fool around with anything when you've got a vindicated word. Sit still, shut up, see nothing, hear nothing, do nothing. Except let your heart and everything open to this word and say, God, if this word moves in me to something, moving in me to be a dearer, sweeter follower, more confirmed believer, more temperate, more loving, more kind, help me, Lord. But don't you go looking for gifts and things and sensations and things to come here. I've had them. And I'm getting some bad sensation in my old age. My eyes don't focus where they hoot. That's not a nice sensation. You can get any kind of sensation. You won't even want them. You got an ounce of something going. Now let me tell you something else. Old Isaac loved Esau. Now, here's a case where his wife had more on the ball than he did. And he did his best. He was going to make sure that Esau got the blessing. Now, his wife, although she knew more in a certain way, she knew less in another way. And what she did, she got her son Jacob to put hair on his hand, a calfskin, and change his voice like Esau's, because old Isaac was plumb blind and almost deaf too, I guess. And he pretended that he was Esau. And old Isaac blessed him. Then Esau comes on the scene, and Isaac begins to tremble. And he said, what happened? He said, who came and got the blessing? And Esau said, that dirty, rotten, rascal supplanter Jacob did it. Father, give me a blessing. He said, son, the blessing's gone. Now, just a minute. Just a cotton picking minute. Do you think for one minute that God would have backed up that man's blessing if it hadn't been what God wanted to bless? Balaam said, God will not bless just because I said. God can only bless what God blesses and only curse what God curses. It's in his hand. So Isaac, as a prophet, knew that. The words that came out, all the guy was an imposter standing there. He wasn't an imposter. He did a stupid thing listening to his mother. How many mama boys we got here tonight? Anybody? Raise your hand. You got guts? Are you a church member? a mama's boy, some church member, some old Cretan dog, still bother you, still got to hang in there? She's wrong. Because Jacob, all he had to do was stand there, and there's no way that his father could not have given him the blessing. Now let's go a little further. David, the king prophet upon whom Jesus is the antitype. He lusts after a woman contrary to Scripture. He commits adultery contrary to Scripture. He kills the husband contrary to Scripture. But he's still a prophet. Huh? Oh, no, he ain't no prophet. He's a sleazebag according to Israel. Oh, yeah. Okay. Paul the Apostle, the things that I write, the good, the beautiful, benefits, intrinsically good, no flaw, perfect as God, belonging to the real nature of the thing and not dependent on external circumstances. Huh? Oh, these crows are putting peacock feathers in their tails, pretending they're peacocks. The hawks are flapping their wings as though they're eagles. Let them fall to the eagle, and Brother Brown has said they'd explode. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't the external, it's the internal. Is there, thus saith the Lord? Oh, they said Brother Branham was a whoremonger. Oh, yeah, that's right. I can tell you the woman's name who said it, and I can tell you the man after that spread it. Oh, his son's big guns now. Oh, big stuff. Oh, yeah, big stuff. Oh, my, yeah. Come and hear the gift of prophet so-and-so. Bunk. If William Branham was a whoremonger, I'd still listen. If he was drunk, as they said, driving his car and got killed, I'd still listen. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it's not the external, it's the internal. Come on, I got some of you sitting there. You're kind of scared now, aren't you? I'm calling your Pentecostal bluff tonight because you're goody-goodies. Yeah. You got it all figured out, and you're all figured out wrong. You can't believe the Bible. You're not meant to believe it. David knew better. You bet your sweet life he knew better. And he should have done better, but he didn't. Well, we'll just get rid of the old sleaze bag. Huh? Well, we might as well get down there where the goody-goody boys are. God poured everything into Jesus. That gets rid of God. Now, Jesus poured into church. That gets rid of him. You might as well go the limit. I always said, if you're going to hell, go with bells on. They're trying to kill you for a dog. You might as well act like one. Let me tell you something. God never sent angels down. He never sent cherubim down. When he came down, he sent his only begotten Son, who took upon himself human clay like you and me, was tempted at all points, but never sinned. He was thoroughly identified with all of our corruption, all of our meanness, all of our everything. And at the end time, when the world sat back, even the church sat back, and he came down and said, I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. You're wretched, miserable, naked, blind. You're nothing but prostitutes. You're finished. I'm standing at the door knocking. I'm waiting for one man to open the door. And the man opened the door. I'm going to come in and sup. Imagine him coming in and supping with a bunch of whoremongers. Naked prostitutes reveling and dancing. And Brother Branham saw the Seventh Church Age Church. She was with soiled hula skirts made out of rotten paper, rocking and rolling, naked in the breasts. Ugly, miserable, stinking, rotten examples. And he said, oh, God. And he heard the sound of music down the road, and they were marching to the tune of a different drummer. Yeah. Discrepancy. differently. And he saw a little bride beautifully dressed on the horizon coming in. She was meet for the king. But he came down and pulled her out of a church that's full of rottenness and filthiness. And people can't see past Brother Branham to see God. There's something wrong somewhere. There's something wrong somewhere. God came down once in human figure. That's enough. He died upon Calvary. Now they've crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. And there's nothing left but judgment. See? Now, let's look at Acts 3:12-26. And we really don't have too much time, but in there, he tells you in verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. If God doesn't give you a change of mind, he can't give you conversion either. Can't fill you with the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said that's what that means. That your sins may be blotted out. When times of refreshing shall come from the very presence of God. And Brother Branham said that great healing revival that heralds a new message. That's what he called it. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you. In other words, appointed. But they crucified him, whom the heavens must receive and retain until the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly sent the fathers, the prophets shall the Lord your God raise him to your brethren like unto me, then shall you whom you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now at that time, a restoration of all things, you're going to have a rerun, a Deuteronomy, a duplication here, because the prophet's going to be raised up like unto Moses. From amongst the brethren, and you're going to hear him. It'll come to pass every soul shall not hear that prophet if you destroyed among the people. That didn't happen when Jesus died, only so many destroyed. They didn't all die. No, he's talking about the end time. See? Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel. How does Samuel get in there? That's end time. Brother Branham always compared himself to Samuel, always talked about Samuel. Every time. You go hear your tapes. Now he said, yea, the prophets of Samuel, those that follow after Samuel, as many that have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. What days? The days back there and the days now, the Alpha and the Omega and the twins. It's all there. Hey, you got to know by now. You've got to know by now the simplicity. Alpha and Omega, twins. Huh? Well, how come people don't realize it? How come the mind doesn't go to it? Where's your learning? I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm just being a little, inquisitive. See? Okay. Ye are the children of the prophets. You're the very words of the prophets come to pass, manifested. Living epistles written known of all men. And of the covenant that God made with our father, Saint Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, unto you first, Israel, God raised up his son. Then if there's a first, there's got to be a second. That's Matthew 12. When he comes to the Gentiles in the form of the Holy Spirit and does the Son of Man ministry perfectly through the prophet and goes beyond it. I've been giving you Matthew 12 time after time and gone through and showed you exact parallels. We don't have time tonight, but you've got it. Unto you first. Now what happened? Ephesians 1:15. The Lord Jesus Christ given the spirit of wisdom, the revelation of knowledge, and the eyes of understanding being known. We don't know hope he's calling, with rich inheritance of the saints, taking us right to the millennium by via the resurrection and the rapture, turning us from our iniquities, turning us away, doing it the second time. Come now, let us reason together. Stand at the door and knock. All open up to us, see? Now, watch. He says, until the times of restoration of all things. The word things there is rhema, or we call it rhema, which is word, which means is based upon the thought of a pouring forth to utter, say, command, so it is translated as utterance. So it says here, the times of restoration of all the utterances which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets as the world began, and Brother Branham said, this prophet, meaning himself, William Branham, sows the entire seed of the Bible from the serpent in the Garden of Eden to the prophet in the former rain. Right. That's a quote. And I don't care if you find it on your computers or not. They can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. He said it, and I'm quoting it. I'm sick and tired of computers. They're not bringing up the Word of God. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm quoting the prophet. I'll have one myself. I get you guys to do the dirty work. Spoken words, original seed. Prophet in the former reign. Joel, the teaching reign. The prophet teaching. And the prophet taught the revelation. How many got it? Huh? How many are getting it? Oh, Brother Dale, don't bother teaching, you see, because you can't give it. I'm not giving one tonight either. I'm just teaching for old E. Dale what I got in my heart, what's in my mouth. If you want to go along, that's your business. I can't do anything about that. Hey, Rhema, pouring forth to utter to say. Thus we read in verse 21, as a restoration of all the utterance which God, intrinsic, the intrinsic God, God as Godhood, and God is, period. His word has spoken, uttered by the mouth of man. Then when God descends with a shout, is He going to use a prophet or isn't He? They all got it lined up. God's going to come down like a Comanche Indian with a war whoop, screaming and rending the heavens. Hogwash. Vindicated. I said vindicated. I said vindicated. So shut up and sit down. Or you'll get knocked down. Not by me. I had nothing to do with that. That's God's business. Thus we find Brother Banner saying, the end time prophet, namely himself, will plant the seed of the entire Bible, the serpent in the garden, to the prophet in the former rain, the teaching rain. And that takes you to Ephesians 1, when God himself comes down as a spirit of wisdom, the revelation of himself. God descending with a shout. And remember, the shout is a military command. Huh? A military command. And that's over in Joel again. Yeah. They'll be like a troop, jump over a wall. The bride getting out in the rapture. She's in an army now. A mighty army. She's dressed, going up in a rank. Brother Brand said they're going up in ranks. That's an army. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Here she's going up. Getting ready to get out of here. Putting the whole church in order. Getting everyone in marching order. And there was a woman got out of line. Billy Paul wouldn't tell me who it was. His daddy told him. And he said, get in line! Huh? Hey, let's stop right here. That's the question. Are you following me tonight, or am I talking too fast or going over your heads? I know I can do that when I talk about Brother Branham's vision, because I know it so well. I'm of the opinion you know as well as I do. Maybe you don't even know what I'm talking about. Brother Branham had a vision of the bride, right? The first stage was a beautiful, neatly dressed little girl. The last one's a bunch of hoop and holler, rock and roll, filthy scum. The same vision showed him like cat's eye. Hoo, hoo, hoo. They came up, souls lost in prison in hell. And at that end time, he said the little beautiful bride finally came in. He was so happy to see her. And one was not in step. And he said, get in line. So what? A command by God himself descending and using a prophet to get the church in order and in line. Getting out the confusion of gifts and all. Why? So the Word can settle in. And the gifts don't take the floor anymore. They become complementary. But you tell me, what gift can you use tonight to become complementary to my ministry when I'm preaching the Word of God? Thus saith the Lord from William Branham in this Bible here. Tell me what you can add to it. Nothing. Take your gifts in a room. Let's see what you got. I made a terrible statement just then, brother, sister. I'm ready for correction. I'll eat my words even. But I'm ready for it. You come and stand beside me. Take your gifts and bring it up here. Show me where they supersede what I'm preaching. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but this word won't do it. Gifts are going to be gone. Oh, the Bible said so. Tongues will cease. The prophecy gone. It's all gone. We know and gone anymore in part. It's no longer in part. There's no longer seven church ages. It's all exposed. It's all out here. It's blended with eternity. We're going up. Somebody's going up. See? That's Ephesians 1:4-16. Thus in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It is the chrusma, the shout, the military command, which purpose is to bring the church in subjection, as it says in chapter 15, which is the chapter on resurrection and immortality and getting out of here. Because the word chrusma is basic to the word subjection. And I've been over that time after time. Our time's gone anyway. We haven't got any more time. Run out? How much? 6 minutes? I won't take any time. You can read that again. So now we go back and we read once more. And now tonight, in the days when we got this great discrepancy, we also have a conformity because they're twins. When there's Satan's seed fully manifest, there's a bunch of sons of God fully manifest. And that word is not sons, it's born ones, which is male, neither male nor female in Christ. There's also the seed of conforming. Christ promised that. In the book of Luke, chapter 17, of course, before the coming of the Lord, be like it was in the days of Sodom when the Son of Man would reveal himself, like the Son of Man revealed himself to Abraham down there. That's what you're looking at. And he said, you're not Abraham, you're Abraham, and Sarai, not Sarah, where is your wife? So Brother Branham brought him right up to date. And you can see tonight where we're at, what the seed of discrepancy is all about. And you can see, my brother, my sister, you don't have to worry about judging anybody by the fruit or the acts or anything else from this point on. Forget it. You've only got one criterion, that's the word. And I want to know who believes the presence, because Brother Branham said, my message, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And the word declare means to fully lead forth, or exegeticize, or what do you want to call it. There's no verb for it in the dictionary. You've got to make up your own. You can exegete or exegeticize. Doesn't matter what you do. You're all wrong because you're no verb. But I make my own up. I got a right to do it. It's not that I'm brilliant. It's just that I just got a right to do it. And I do it. So, all right. There you see it tonight. Once more, you begin to see vindication. You're going to see this word laid out. You see, we talk about a man that I knew, some of you met. A living prophet of God. If they stand there and say, when you see me, you're looking at me. Same thing. Yeah. Oh, I know the pride in you wicked hearts. Don't think I know. Oh, my, I wouldn't say that. Of course you wouldn't say it, but you'd sure say you're full of the Holy Ghost and you're a liar. I haven't been mean tonight, have I? I didn't think so. I thought I spoke fairly blunt, but I don't recall being mean. I don't think so. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time you give us together to get in this word here, which is so rich and so wonderful that I know, Lord, I don't do it justice. I don't even begin to fool myself, Lord, because why would I lie to you and lie to anybody else when the truth of the matter is this is so wonderful and so glorious, I ought to write it all down and then have it all corrected, Lord, and do everything I can and then trust you little things to fill in that I have to fill in to get it just as perfect as I can, to make it the glorious reality that it really is, so people can see how marvelous every single word and every single thing is, so flawless, it's so perfect, because it's just the Word. And even to read the history, Lord, of your Word with your prophets and your people is so marvelous. It just is wonderful, Father. And we're knowing that just beyond the river now, I believe we're just ready to cross over, and those waters are going to take us over. We're going to land over there in that glorious kingdom with the temple worship with Jesus in the lead. I believe also purely incarnated the Father God. Marvelous, marvelous time of going on together in depth, Lord. I don't understand it. I haven't got the capacity at this minute, at least I'm not given it somehow, to get into it. But, Lord, I know that down the road, It'll be there if I'm part of it, and by your grace and by so far the evidence of knowing what we know here, we believe we are part of it, Lord. And that's the biggest thing in all the world, and people can criticize and do what they want, and that's it. They made, now the Jews are making David some kind of a sleaze bag. Lord, we know we're sleaze bags before the whole world anyway. Hallelujah. We know what your own son said upon earth. He said, I haven't done one thing, and look what you're doing to me, and you guys will do plenty, so don't even worry about it. You'll get plenty done to you. And I believe that, Lord. I know that the Lamb was not worthy of it. He was a scapegoat. And tonight, Lord, we get what we so far, we get just what we've done. I appreciate that, to know, Father, that it's true what we sow we reap. But I also know the intrinsicality, Lord, of your truth tonight. And that is that word in us, that good, pure word, like God himself in there. We're partakers of it, eating of it, growing up in Christ until, Father, we're nothing but word children in the essentiality, not looking at an exterior evidence, although we know that also goes with it, but not in a deceitful manner, no way, shape, and form as the false anointed, but in truth and in sobriety, the righteousness of God. Help us to that end. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to read a little bit over here in the book of Matthew for a communion service. And it says here in the 27th chapter of Matthew, in verse 35, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. and sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And remember that the Jews tried to change that, and they said, well, say that he said he was the King of the Jews. And he said, no, it's what I've written, I've written. He said, I'm not going to change it. See, the man had something that even as a heathen, a political heathen, that's all he was. I think that Herod and those guys would make a good Clinton. You know, they can quote scripture and everything else, and I really mean that. I'm not being derogatory. I mean, it's just what I'm looking at. It's a terrible situation here in America. A man gets up and he quotes the book of Galatians, and then he goes up with everything he's doing. You realize that there's nothing in this world that we reap without sowing. And he quotes it. And he's leading America right down the primrose path to destruction. And he's got the women's vote. He's got it on murder. And the reason they're murdering through abortion is because his pastor told him a baby doesn't have a life until he breathes, because that word spirit is pneuma, which really means air. And Brother Branham said the same thing, but he didn't say what that man said, the accusing. Brother Branham, when that Mormon fellow said the child was stillborn, he said, you will meet it in heaven. See? So when you deal with the spirit, that's true, but you're dealing with the soul and the body. So you see, and what are they going to do? They'll end up like Israel, eating their flesh. You remember Israel, the time of the Samaria, they were completely enveloped by the enemy. And the one mother said, well, I'll roast my baby today and you roast yours tomorrow. And so they roasted the baby, and the next day came time for the other woman to roast her. She wouldn't do it, so she went to the king and she said, king, this woman owes me that baby. We ate mine yesterday, we want to eat hers today. And the king rent his garments. You watch. Brother Brand said, there's a famine of food coming. And he said, also the word. And I don't believe that was a fluke. I don't believe he meant there's a great big famine of word. Oh, there'll be some food missing too. No, he didn't say that. Prophets don't make mistakes. A big famine coming. Yeah. What did they figure? About 2025? Be 75 short. 75% short. And mostly due to logistics. They can't get it shipped out. But what about the fact you don't get any rain, you get drought, you don't get any crops? So what's that? How many tank cars that whole grain do you need to ship the grain when there isn't any? Well, I must need a million tank cars to ship a million non-existent bundles or bushels. Forget it. Anyway. And there were two thieves crucified with them on their right hand and on their left. And when they passed by, reviled and wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and build it, in 3 days save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priest mocking him said with the scribes and elders, he saved others himself, he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. See, that's a quote from the Old Testament, too, where he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, see, the reason that they crucified him was a complete misunderstanding of the Word of Almighty God. That's what you got today. The Word was completely in the hands of everybody but prophets. The Sanhedrin was now a complete political entity. State and religion was one. And they were already completely governed by Rome that granted them the ability to do what they're doing. And that's what you got right today, in the time when they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. And they've done it already. And remember, from that point on, there is no repenting. You know, people say they believe this message already have their ear punched with Jesus only. I can prove it to you. I can bring it right here. I got a little black brother from New York preaching in Indiana. He talked to one of the brethren from Canada. One was Jesus only all his life. The other just turned Jesus only. And after me talking to the one guy for an hour and a half, he couldn't understand me. He never will, I don't suppose. I don't know. It's up to him and God. He said, Leviel preaching two gods. And this brother said, I want to tell you something. I'm preaching exactly what Leviel preaches. I'm not preaching two gods. And it's Brother Branham. Quote Brother Branham. See, they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh. The crucified Word is in our midst today. See, the whole thing is gone. So, all right, just remember that when we celebrate tonight. We take communion, and by the grace of God, we are not of that group who will not take communion in the millennium. Remember, there's a vast throng that will not take communion in the millennium. They'll never even get there. Their end will be the lake of fire. That's nothing we rejoice in, nothing we have anything to do with. This is all the sovereign act of Almighty God. And the actual truth of the matter is this. If the message today did not set forth God as 100% sovereign, there would be no use even trying to believe any message, because it isn't one. Because God means sovereign. You don't tell him anything. You don't twist his arm. You have one job, and that's listen. And the thing cannot say to the thing formed cannot say to that which formed it, why hast thou made me thus? As Paul said, who art thou, a man, to reply against God? Paul could have tried to give some great big reason, some great big rigmarole. He said, who are you to reply against God? That's what we look at tonight. We are here tonight because it's been predestinated to God. We were with the same crowd, but we came up from that crowd. Not one of us is in any danger of blaspheming the Word. How could we? It's not in a child that which is born of God cannot sin. No unbelief. It believes it. It receives it. Then it's up to God to do the rest. Let's rise at this time for the communion service and foot washing. And the brethren come forward, of course. Of course, we have one that serves the bread and two that serves the wine, making it easier. You can come on both sides of the communion table up here in order to pass around the side. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commend this and commit this part of the service into your hands, knowing, Lord, that looking way back at the time of the crucifixion, they did not know what they were doing. And even at the time of the taking emblems, they did not know what they were doing. They did not understand. But Father, if any people should have an understanding, it is we of this hour who have been given you yourself to come down and help us with this word to know the truth as it was in Christ Jesus and fully manifested. Father, if we're lacking anything, forgive us. Cleanse us, we pray, by the blood tonight, O Lord. Fortify us by your Spirit, that the Word with the Holy Spirit in it will dwell up well up within us, dwell richly within us, and we therefore then dwell richly in you as those who behave themselves seemingly and are good to emphasize the conformity which is in Jesus Christ. So help us tonight, Father, wherein we miss, to make it up, and wherein we have, may it become more abundant. And may we also, therefore, show forth your praises than ever before. And unto you we give the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.